Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network, and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. And it truly is amazing how the Giants lost that football game yesterday. And if they had won, and if they had squeaked by and won the game, would have said, all right, you know, wasn't pretty, almost let that one get away, but you beat the Commanders, and like, you got a tough portion of the schedule coming up, and we'll see if they can get on track. But at 0-2, it's over. Season's over. And now you think, how bad is it going to get? Is it going to get so bad that another regime has to come in here? Because I as much as I like Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, if they could play like that against a bad football team and then somehow find a way to choke it away and not win the next portion of their schedule, they've got no chance at beating these teams unless there's going to be some sort of major injury to the stars on those opponents. And it's another year. We are sitting here, and it's not even October, and we are writing the Giants obituary. And Giants fans have had a lot of great moments, Super Bowls, memories, the 100th season that they're celebrating, but this stretch has been putrid, and they're doing things that haven't been done in the NFL ever, historically bad. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I'm doing well. I mean, it's amazing. The Jets win, and we start with the Giants because that's just the nature of the business, is to start with the negative.
I'll tell you why. Okay. Just one last thing is we're going to be opening with the Jets for the rest of the season because the Giants are going to be done. Okay. Because there's going to be nothing to talk about.
I know that you can feel that way.
We got to get it out now.
I know. In general, football fans do feel that way, and I'm sure the Giant fans, a lot of them probably feel the same way that you feel right now. However, in reality and pragmatically, there's no way that Brian Daboll could walk in that building and look at his team and go, the season's over. They got to play. They got to continue to play. And yesterday, in typical Giant fashion, unfortunately, over the last 8 years, it was one of the most bizarre losses that I've ever witnessed, and I think Giant fans have witnessed, because this is the first time, as we all know, this stat is out there, the first time a team has scored 3 touchdowns in a game, hasn't given up a touchdown to the other team, and lost the game.
Yeah, that's a historically bad situation.
I mean, that is insane. And now this is 6 out of the last 8 years where they have started 0-2. And, you know, it's a sense where I think if you are a fan of the team, and I'm not a fan of the Giants, I want them to do well. I love it when they do well. I love being here when they went to the Super Bowl for 2 years, and it was an unbelievable ride, and it's so much fun to be able to talk about winning football teams and how they won and unexpectedly winning games that they were expected to lose during those times under Tom Coughlin. But since then, it's been nothing but instability. It's been crazy. It has been a revolving door of players and coaches. And now this is another reflection of that. And what happened to them yesterday with the kicking situation in Graham Gano, I was trying to think in my career, like, did that ever happen to us where a kicker got hurt? And all I really remember, in Cincinnati, we had Jim Breach. And Jim had a pretty good leg from 48 yards in. He wasn't really a long kicker.
Okay.
So we had a backup punter. His name was Lee Johnson, and he would always attempt the longer kicks. Like if we had at the end of a half or an end of the game, we had like a 62-yard field goal attempt or something, Lee would always do that. And Lee could kick if Jim did get hurt. He could kick extra points. He could kick medium field goals, and he would be effective at that. Most times, punters are that backup kicker on the team, or you may have somebody who was a kicker in college or in high school that you may have kickoff tryouts or field goal tryouts during training camp or something like that. What happened to the Giants yesterday doesn't really happen in the NFL all that much. And if Graham Gano was somewhat injured going into the game, then there is no excuse not to have a backup kicker on the sideline.
Yeah, and or know that Jamie Gillen can do the job, which to me, this was the most confounding thing. So you have the spotlight on Daniel Jones last week and the heat and everything on Daniel Jones. Because of this kicking situation, the way they lost this game, all of it now moves away from Daniel, who didn't play all that poorly, right onto Brian Daboll, and mostly because of this. And I don't, this is the thing that drives me nuts. So Graham Gano, he's hurt after that first touchdown. You've got how many 2-point plays that you work on that are similar plays that where you
say
getting...
I would say yeah, you got a handful, 4 or 5 plays that you can run at a different
right, that
personnel
you practice,
groups and formations
that you
and,
practice.
Yes,
that'll probably also. I mean, I may be wrong, but also in the offense when you're trying to get 3 yards on a 4th-and-3 or something like that, these are plays that you practice all the time.
Yeah, the only difference about that is the length of the field that you have.
Sure,
that's all
right, but like. So you practice that all the time, and your offense is out there, and you just scored a touchdown. But let me send the punter out there to try to kick an extra point when I have no idea if he's going to be able to do it or not.
I'm sure they knew that he could attempt to try.
But they never went back to him.
Yeah,
so they were like, okay, he missed. He can't do it. Now we're going to have 2-point play. Just do it.
I'm sure he's done it in practice, but it's a completely different set of circumstances in the game. Now all of a sudden the nerves, the anxiety, all that crap is there, and I think once they saw what it looked like, they were like, we're not doing this again.
Well, exactly, but yes. they should have, to me, the higher percentage thing to do in that situation.
Immediately go for 2.
Well, yeah, on the first score, too. Now, I understand they were not successful throughout the game doing it, but still, it's the higher percentage thing because you've got your offense out there, you've got your starters out there, and that's something you practice where, you know, Jamie Gillen is, you know, break glass in case of emergency situation.
Well, that's one part of the story, and it's a big part of the story because Brian Daboll's the head coach. He's the one that ultimately listened to Graham Gano and did not bring up a backup kicker. I mean, and I know that there are guys that are on the roster that don't play any, you know, after the game, you see how many snaps they play. He didn't play. He played 2 snaps. He didn't play at all. Why didn't we have the kicker up if these guys aren't playing? You know, what the reason that they bring certain guys up is because they're hoping that nobody gets hurt, but they also know that maybe a guy's going into the game that's a little dinged up and he may only be able to play half the game or a quarter of the game. So they got to make sure that they have that particular position shored up. That's why they bring up who they bring up. And believe you me, it's not a thing that they don't discuss during the week of who do we think we're going to elevate. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And the coaches all bring, you know, their ideas to the head coach and say, look, let's just say, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau's got a thumb injury and I think he can go and maybe we got him for at least a quarter and a half, 2 quarters. Well, they got to bring somebody else up just in case that Kayvon Thibodeau can't make it through the game. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's roster management that every team goes through. And, I mean, this thing yesterday is so bizarre. And I think a lot of the angst coming from the Giant fan towards Brian Daboll has to be that the media was posting on X prior to the game that Graham Gano was not 100%.
Well, yeah. I mean, he popped up on the injury report on Saturday, and then obviously he ends up injuring his hamstring when he's chasing down Austin Eckler. But yeah, I mean, so it was something that people knew, and then he's out, and then they're asking him questions about it, and he felt like Graham Gano was going to be okay with the information that he had. He thought he was going to be okay. He was wrong, and now at 0-2. After the season they had last year, losing to the Commanders, who have no idea what they're doing right now. And this is a game you cannot lose if you are this point in the development of your program. If you're 3 years. Shane.
If you're 3 years in
and Brian
versus the Washington Commanders, who are 6 months in.
Yeah, they got new owner. They got Dan Quinn there as a coach. Jaden Daniels running around juggling the football. I mean, they have no idea what's going on there. The Giants have to go in there and win that game.
Well, unfortunately for the Giants now, the other part of this is, yeah, the defense only gave up 7 field goals only, but they gave up a ton of yards. They gave up a time of possession. You know, they didn't get any turnovers. I mean, those are the things that, you know, ultimately lead these teams to everybody being close. If there aren't a lot of turnovers in games and turnovers aren't turned into points, then these games are all going to be close. You know, you have a Singletary fumble, you have a neighbor's drop, you have like all the things that could go wrong at the most inopportune time. You know, basically went wrong for the Giants. I could probably point to like five plays on offense, and you could probably point to five plays on defense. And before you know it, you're walking off the field a loser, and you're 0-2 again now for the sixth time in the last 8 years.
Yeah, and it doesn't get any easier from here. And this is why we said, you know, the entire summer and spring when the schedule came out that they got to win these first two games or at least get one of them, because after that it gets much, much harder in the schedule, and they ended up losing both of them. So, I mean, even if they're 2-0 and we think that they're going to go on a run because the opponents get harder, I mean, at least they're 2-0 and they have a little bit of wiggle room and they found a way to win games. Although they're 0-2 now. And I know the Browns had a miserable week one, but Daniel Jones and this offense going into Cleveland against what they can be, that defense in Cleveland is going to be really tough.
Well, Trevor Lawrence found out yesterday.
Yes.
That's another, like, you know, there are teams around the league right now that are stunned that they're 0-2. I wouldn't say the Giants are stunned, although we thought they had a good chance of winning both of those games, but maybe Minnesota's a little bit better than we thought, given the fact that they beat the 49ers yesterday. But these were two games where we all felt like that was the weight class the Giants were in.
Yeah.
And Cleveland wins a game yesterday that they needed to win, especially after losing their home opener and getting blown out by the Cowboys. And they did yesterday at the Jacksonville Jaguars, so maybe their season is a little bit righted. But again, I do believe that the first 4 weeks of this season, and any season for that matter, because nobody plays in preseason, is the preseason for the NFL. And I think these coaches are all still trying to figure each other out. And a lot of places, like the Jets, with a new quarterback, are still trying to figure out what it's going to be like to play in high intense situations and learn each other. And I think the Jets found out a little bit more about themselves yesterday as Aaron Rodgers again shows flashes and glimpses of the MVP Aaron Rodgers that we've seen from Green Bay days. So he's getting a little bit more comfortable, and that was a great win for them. But, you know, this Giants situation here, and are they going to go blow it all up again at the end of the season, right, depending on what happens here?
Yeah, I mean, and the most likely, and I understand that there's a lot of games left and things could change, but we've seen this a lot. The most likely outcome is that this team is picking in the top five again. That right now, looking at the schedule, looking the way that they play football, that they're picking in the top five again, which means that they're going to have a shot, another shot probably, of drafting a highly touted rookie quarterback that they weren't able to do this past year. So what does John Mara need to see this season from the Daboll Shane regime to not hire Bill Belichick to do the rebuild with the young quarterback?
He wanted vast improvement. He wanted a marked improvement. He said that himself. And I will say that this morning and yesterday after this game was over, it's the first time that I actually felt like people are now starting to look at the coach. I mean, I think for the most part, everybody has appreciated the coach, liked the coach. The coach has been, you know, gone through another defense coordinator, so that's changed. He's got this quarterback that, you know, is woefully inconsistent. And I'm not blaming anything on him yesterday. He threw two touchdowns, did not turn the ball over, ran effectively when he ran. So I'm not, you know, it's not about him. This is about a defense that couldn't get off the field, although they only gave up field goals, which is okay. I can deal with that. And then, you know, they just, the kicking situation is just so bizarre to me.
Yeah, I mean, basically he thought.
And they may have lost anyway. They may have, Washington may have kicked an eighth field goal.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen a lot. You're right. But I think what happened was Graham Gano wasn't 100%. Brian Daboll saw him, was like, all right, you think you can go? Yeah, I think I can go. And then a play injured himself worse. I mean, that's what I think happened. And it looks really bad because there was a prior injury where he wasn't 100%, and then he ends up getting a worse injury. So that's why it's on the coach. But I think that Brian Daboll's like, okay, he's not 100%, but he's going to be able to go and he's going to be fine.
And then he goes on the first kickoff and gets hurt. Yeah. It's just so freaking bizarre. It's unbelievable. And for the Commanders, they had lost 9 in a row coming into the game, which is, you know, so they obviously, this is the coach now, a new coach. So he had lost his first game, and now this is their first win as a coach quarterback tandem. And, you know, Jaden Daniels, like, they were getting rid of the ball quick. I mean, I think that they made a concerted effort to say, okay, listen, let's keep it simple. Let's get rid of the ball and let's get it out of our hands and not make any mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like that's the way that they were playing this game.
I mean, the Giants, I think, are going to be favored in two more games the rest of the year. And say what you want about favorites winning. I understand it's not all about that in the league. But just to give you a perspective on their schedule. So you play 17 games now. They've played two. So that means there's 15 games left. I think they're probably going to be maybe three if you throw the Colts in there, but I'm not sure. But definitely against the Panthers and definitely most likely at home to the Commanders because I don't think that team's that good.
With silver lining, you want a silver lining?
Yeah, give me a silver lining.
Even though he dropped the pass and an important pass that Malik Neighbors. Right. So, you know, here's a guy who's got about 193 or 4 yards in his first two games.
Yeah, it looks good.
You know, that is the second most amount of yards to start a wide receiver career.
Wow.
In his first two games.
I mean, it sucks that he dropped that pass. I did like his reaction, though, and how upset he was at himself, and I think that's going to fuel him. I mean, it wasn't the easiest catch in the world, but he's got to make it. But, yeah, I mean,
superstar players make those plays.
Yeah, and he will. I think he will. I think that he's going to turn out to be a really good draft pick for Joe Shane. He'll be able to hang his hat on that. But, I mean, we're gonna get tested. Like, that entire team is going to get tested. And Malik Neighbors is going to get tested for probably the first time in his career being on a really bad football team that's meandering through a season where you might have a lame duck regime.
You know, it's interesting just watching these rookies go through this, no matter what position they play. But watching Caleb Williams last night, he looked like he got ran over by a truck last night. Mm. And trying to make plays and doing things that just make no sense and watching it and feeling the issues that they go through. The rookie quarterbacks in this league get their asses kicked.
Well, yeah, and the Giants lost to one of them who didn't throw a touchdown yesterday.
And yet, you know, Brian Burns had his first, sack, and what ends up happening? Penalty. I don't know what that plane ride home was like yesterday from Washington. It had to be, like, just miserable.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, you know, as this pressure builds, you know, we have an owner here that listens quite a bit. Not I'm talking to us, but to his fan base.
Oh, yeah.
He pays attention to his fan base. His fan base, he's open to getting emails and letters and usually answers a lot of people back and tries to calm all the fears and tries to be the professional owner that he's always been and he's revered and he's respected. But, you know, he's going to start hearing it now.
Oh, yeah, of course. And then this is not the first time. You know, this has been a stretch now outside of 2022 where there's been a lot of bad. And he's had it. And he's annoyed by it. And we've seen him throw chairs. And we've seen him get sick about it. So, I mean, if they end up having 3 wins, 4 wins at the end of this year, and you draft a quarterback. I mean, is it going to be you handing that quarterback to Brian Daboll and say, this is why we hired you? You know, do you say, Joe Shane, do your evaluation. This is why we hired you. You know, or do we say, hey, Bill, you know, dust off the hoodie, come over here, and let's end this thing where it started.
Well, you know, the thing that really, when I think about the Giants, of a legacy team, you know, obviously in the NFL, the oldest team in the NFL, I understand it's an amazing run and an amazing longevity, and it's something to be really proud of, and they do have legacy players. There's no question about that. But when I compare them to another legacy team, it's a little bit younger, obviously, but for different reasons, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers go into Denver yesterday, play against a rookie quarterback, and, you know, they don't have a great quarterback situation. They don't have a great offensive situation. That 2 weeks in a row now, the Steelers have won such a Mike Tomlin Steelers type of game. It's ugly. It's nasty. It's defense. And they barely score any points, but they win. The Giants, on the other hand, find a way to lose. Hmm. And I feel like that, like those two franchises are the opposite ends of the spectrum in the NFL, where the Giants are losing games where they shouldn't be losing, and the Steelers are winning games that, you know, maybe they shouldn't be winning because of their offense and how stifled it is and has been since Ben Roethlisberger left.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's why Mike Tomlin's been the head coach there since 2007, and the Giants have had 2007 head coaches.
Right.
Right. I mean,
there's just a I can't explain this like a culture. Certain teams have a culture, I think. And the Steelers probably, because of Tomlin now and Cowher before him and then Chuck Noll before him, you know, have had that stability, that Steeler culture. It's in a passionate fan base market. There's no question about it. But, for you know, it's not as big as it is here. So maybe that's one of the reasons why they're able to overcome some of the things that they overcome and the shortcomings that they have, especially on offense, since Ben Roethlisberger left.
All right,
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, Jerry is here. He's got lots of stuff for us. Good morning, Jerry.
Well, good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Do you want me to start with the Jets, or you want to get to the Giants first, since that's what you kind of covered here?
Now let's hear about the Jets here.
All right, so we'll start with the Jets. Here's the good. The good is the Jets won. They win in Tennessee, and along the way,
second down and six at the 26 of the Titans. Empty backfield, five wide for Aaron Rodgers. Takes the snap, drops back, four-man rush. Lobs one down the right side at the goal line, leaping attempt. Wow. Caught, Breece Hall. Oh, that's a Jet touchdown. Breece Hall climbs the ladder, and Aaron Rodgers drops in a perfect dime, and the Jets have the lead.
And that was Bob Wischusen on Q104.3 in Jets radio. They had the lead. They would wind up winning 24-17 for their first win of the season. Braylon Allen had himself a nice day, a touchdown run and a touchdown catch.
How about this? He's the youngest player in the NFL right now.
He's 20, right?
Right, he's 20, and he's the youngest player to score a touchdown in NFL history. Actually tied a guy who is the same age as him in terms of years and days.
Mm.
And he did it.
How about that?
In 1930.
But did he have two?
I don't know. His name is Archie Hebner.
Archie Hebner.
Yeah, he played for the Packers.
One of the greats,
all-time greats.
Well, this guy.
How about these two running backs for the Jets? We all knew about Breece Hall.
Yeah, pretty good.
You know the physical stature of Braylon Allen, you know who he reminds me of? Corey Doan.
Oh, that's a good comparison.
Physical, 6'1", 240 pounds.
Especially coming from you. That's a good one.
Well, that's what he looks like. I didn't say that's what he's going to turn out to be, but I got to say, yesterday was really impressive.
Aaron Rodgers threw for 176, two touchdowns. Here's Rob Saleh. Rodgers' experience so helpful in and out of that huddle.
His presence, his ability at the line of scrimmage, his confidence in the huddle, his confidence on the sideline. I mean, the guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer and has had production in this league for a very, very long time. So,
and hopefully for one game. Longer
all
time.
All right, let's just, I mean, we all know that he's going to be a Hall of Famer and everything. This is what he's supposed to do. That's why you brought him here.
That's correct.
He's doing his job.
Here was him. How cool was it getting your first Jet win?
Technically my second. We all know that. Somehow that first one counts. Four important plays. I don't know if they count on that, but it feels great. It feels great.
Yep.
32nd career game-winning drive.
How about that, too? Here was Allen. It's a nice win.
Obviously, after a tough game last week, you know, to come back out on the road and, you know, find a way to pull off a win was huge. And, you know, I thought everybody played really well. The defense stepped up. You know, we were a little slow-ish at the beginning of the game and as offense, and, you know, we're able to pick it up in the second half.
And they figured it out. Now, there were a couple of bad injury notes here. C.J. Mosley, a foot injury. Don't know about Thursday. And Jermaine Johnson, who was playing great, suffered an Achilles injury. This was Johnson at least hopeful that it's not season ending.
We still, you know, I'm hoping for the best. We got to go, you know, clarify and make sure. But yeah, man, it wasn't fun. But at the same time, you know, I talked to my mom and my girl, my family on FaceTime when I got in. And, you know, they're just like, you know, go look in the mirror, you know, go look at your chest. I got a have faith tattoo, so.
Yeah, have faith. We shall see. They play the Jets, turn right back around and play the Patriots now on Thursday. Who
actually played, it wasn't Archie Hebner, it was Arnie Hebner.
Arnie Hebner.
Arnie, yeah, I knew Arnie you had Hebner. That wrong. I didn't want to say anything though.
I just want to make sure the Hebner family's okay with it.
The Hebners.
The Hebners.
No one would know. The Julius Peppers one last week was...
That was bad.
Yeah.
That was
bad. Well, it wasn't bad. It was a slip of the tongue. No big deal. The Archie Hebner, Arnie Hebner, no one knows.
Yeah, but I want to get it right.
Oh, no. And it's good that you corrected it, but not that big a deal. Jets, Patriots, Thursday. The Patriots played pretty well, but did lose to Seattle in overtime. I think it was 23-20 was the final. All right, let's get to the Giants because I think their defense is still on the field in Washington as they gave up field goal after field goal after field goal. The Commanders never punted, and the game ended this way.
Snap is good. Placement down. Kick on its way, and it is good. And Austin Seibert. Kicks 7 field goals.
And beats the Giants with that game winner.
Yes, you could hear it in Bob's voice.
Kicks 7 field goals.
21-18. Jaden Daniels, 23 of 29, 226 yards. He ran for 44. Brian Robinson ran for a buck 33. Time of possession, Washington 38, the Giants 22. Obviously, the kicking situation is a big deal, as we know, because Graham Gano injured the hamstring running down the player on the kickoff. It was ultimately called back, we know. He also had a groin injury on Friday. All right, so let's get to the grilling of Dable, because in his 8 minutes with the media, he was asked in some way, shape, or form about this 13 times.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so we'll start here.
Brian, can you describe your reasoning for only having one kicker active today?
Yeah, because we thought Graham would be okay. I mean, he got hurt chasing down a hamstring. He didn't hurt his groin. He hurt his hamstring.
Okay, so the follow-up immediately.
But, Brian, are you saying that you can't hurt your hamstring running with favoring your groin?
I'm not a doctor.
So a couple of questions very similar to those. Then we get to, well, okay, but he didn't look good before the game. This is a long one.
You said you thought Graham's fine. In warm-ups, he was clearly uncomfortable. He didn't do his full routine. Why even maybe not just have Jamie handle kickoffs so you don't put yourself maybe in that position?
Yeah, again, we talked about a lot of things, Dan. We thought he'd be good to go. We talked to him, talked to the trainers, and, you know, again, I can't tell you he's going to get hurt chasing down a, you know, 100-yard kickoff return that was called back.
But he did. This is where it really got icy, and I don't know if you'll be able to tell with the audio, but if you watch it, it's pretty obvious, and it was written about on social media somewhere, too. I don't know who the reporter is. One asked him about his job security and quite the icy stare to, I think, again, it comes across as if Kim Jones started to ask a question, and it was almost like she's like, oh, we'll just let this play out. Listen to this.
Brian, are you concerned about your job if the results don't change here?
Yeah, I mean, I've done this for a long time, Pat. You know, my focus is on our football team.
Finger bongos. Dabes, do you think? Oh, he's not done.
Yeah, and Pat Leonard.
Yeah, probably who that was. Yes. It was a tough 8 minutes.
I kind of understand what he's saying. I mean, it looks terrible, but like we took the information with the trainers and we determined he was going to be okay. Or we thought that there was a good chance he was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. He ends up getting hurt on a play. We didn't know that. And now I look like a buffoon. Right. But I mean, that's basic. He's telling you what happened. It's not like some sort of mystery.
I'm sorry, Jerry. The interesting, this is where if you've ever played football, you've ever been a part of a team, and I don't care what level, I don't care if it's high school, I don't care if it's pro, college, whatever. There are moments where everything goes foobar, effed up beyond all recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those foobar spots.
Foobar spot, yeah.
And it's a foobar spot with a kicking situation. And you can imagine the screaming and yelling going on in the headsets, you know, and just trying to figure out if there's another way to go about something to fix it. And they didn't have the answer for it. And the coach is the one that gets grilled after the game about his job security after two games and a foobar situation like this.
So the one thing about it, though, would be the fact that Gillen missed the first extra point. Now, last year he made a field goal for them. So it's not like they didn't have someone that's never kicked the ball, but when he misses the first extra point, and he did say that there was a line that had they gotten to, they would have tried a field goal on that final drive. Now, Neighbors got to catch the ball too,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, but they can't have fumbles. And
right, so here I get to Neighbors first.
And how about getting off the field if you're a defense?
Which was brutal.
Get a turnover against a rookie quarterback.
They never punted the entire game. Here was Neighbors. Is that a play on the sideline that you should have made?
I mean, obviously. I mean, they're high on me. They're passing me the ball. They know I can make plays. I'm sure, you know, out of 1,000 times, they're going to continue to call that play and go at me on fourth down again.
I mean.
So, obviously, I want to make that play.
That's a first down at the 10-yard line.
And that ball hit him right in the face.
It was.
And he's trying to keep his feet in bounds. I get it. But, you know, he's a superstar, and those plays need to be made.
Yep, and it wasn't. And so the Giants are 0-2, and God knows how they're going to start the season. Now they're in Cleveland on Sunday at 1 p.m. Just quickly, the Sunday night game. The Texans beat the Bears.
Proud of the gun on 2nd and 24. Here's the snap. C.J. looking. C.J. firing downfield. Hits Nico. 10, 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Houston! A flag on the play.
Man, that's weight room right there, baby.
It was. The flag didn't go against them. The touchdown counted. Texans beat the Bears 19-13. Tough game for Chicago and their quarterback, Caleb Williams. He was sacked 7 times, threw a couple of picks. It was Matt Eberflus. Yeah,
and obviously, we're all disappointed in the loss, and we should be.
Yeah, they didn't play very well.
Put the rookie out there. Let him play. He can handle it.
Well, that's what they're doing.
As opposed to like New England doing the right thing and giving their rookie a chance to just survey things and see how quickly they are. But, you know, they're all in on Caleb, which is fine. But, man, watching him just get beat up last night, it was...
Yeah, he took a beating.
He
took a beating.
And he's still standing, so that's good.
A couple of other things real quick before I get out of here. The Chiefs beat the Bengals by a point. We saw the pass interference, which was a legit call, obviously.
100% it was.
The 51-yarder. They got leveled by the Saints, 44-19.
How about that?
How about that? Yes. Alvin Kamara had 4 touchdowns.
I know.
Here's how I'm going to explain it. Me and Al were talking about this on the warm-up show.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Two teams that are 2-0. Both quarterbacks and most of their players played in the preseason. Well, the Saints look like they know what they're doing.
So did Daniel Jones.
Well, he didn't really Giants play, offense.
Fair. I mean... But the Saints look like they don't look sloppy. They look pretty good. Yeah. And the Cowboys weren't awful. They had 8-minute drives, too. The problem is they were kicking field goals, and the Saints were scoring touchdowns, and it got away from them. But the Saints scored 90 points. You know,
the offensive coordinator for New Orleans, Clint Kubiak.
Gary's son.
And Clint Kubiak was fired by Mike Zimmer when they were in Minnesota.
And
guess what happened?
He got some revenge yesterday.
How about my offense there, cuz?
Yeah, suck on the neck.
He shredded your defense. That we all thought that was going to be like a difference maker for the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, last week he was. This week he was not. So, and now you have the Cowboys play the Ravens on Sunday. The Ravens blew a game against the Raiders yesterday. Yes. And Baltimore is 0-2. The Eagles host
Mike McCarthy on the hot seat again? It's a week-to-week thing.
No, it's not. It's go deep in the playoffs or goodbye.
Right. Every one of his seats is hot. His toilet seat is hot.
He's a Damn it. Well, I have a hot toilet seat.
Of course you do.
I got the heated totem. Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
He's a lame duck coach, man.
He is. Does not have a contract.
Which is crazy.
That is correct. But he is signed through the season, so he'll get paid. He's fine. Yankees beat the Red Sox 5-2. Aaron Judge, his 53rd home run of the season. Giancarlo Stanton drove in 2, and Carlos Rodon was good. The Orioles lost. The Yankees now a 3-game lead atop the AL East. Yankees will be in Seattle tomorrow, and the Mets lost another tough one, 2-1 to the Phillies. They lose back-to-back tough games Saturday and Sunday. Buddy Kennedy, the game-tying RBI double off David Peterson in the 8th, and JT Realmuto with the game-winning RBI single off Edwin Diaz with 2 out in the 9th. And more than that, Francisco Lindor left the game with back soreness. He tried to play, said when he got that first base hit in the first and he started running, it flared up again. So I guess I'll have imaging today to see the severity of this. Mets Nationals tonight.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Coming up in 10 minutes, we will break down the Jets and talk about a very important win for them yesterday,
but I did want to bring the Mets into the conversation because of this Francisco Lindor injury, which to me is very alarming. Anytime that you hear back and lingering back stuff, that's an issue. And I know he's going to do everything he can to get back out there. There's going to be imaging done today and see if there's anything else going on there. But, I mean, it doesn't take a baseball genius to know that if Francisco Lindor isn't right, this team can do nothing. And it's just, I mean, I just fingers crossed that just something, take a day off here, get some rest, get some treatment, and get back out there. Or it's going to be one of these things that you're going to say, how in the hell, after everything that's gone on in this season and how special it's been, that this back injury crops up here in the middle of September to derail their chances. So it's going to be waiting on those results, whether it's later today or tomorrow. Carlos Mendoza, that entire clubhouse, Steve Cohen, David Stearns, and every Met fan is going to be waiting on pins and needles to find out what's actually going on.
You know, a lot of important players in the Mets, none more important than Francisco Lindor, but, I mean, Pete Alonso, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs in the month of September, batting .209. Edwin Diaz imploding again, giving up a loss yesterday. It wasn't a save opportunity, but it was the bottom of the ninth.
And this is why he's even more important, because,
I know that, but there are other guys that are not carrying their weight.
Yeah.
And there are other guys that need to step it up and need to come through big, and they're just not doing it. And this guy with the back injury, I don't know when this flared up. I don't know. I didn't even know this was an issue.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was off Saturday, tried to come back on Sunday, had to be taken out of the game early. So, yeah, nobody did. Nobody knew it was going to be something and had him missing games. So, yeah, very, very scary because of how much he's meant to the team. And you're right. I mean, Pete Alonso in this contract year has just choked in a major way. And he's been healthy. You know, it's not like he's missed 6 weeks with some sort of issue. And I mean, this is the opposite of the Aaron Judge contract year.
That's right.
The exact opposite story. He's cost himself millions and millions of dollars.
He needed to have a money closing part of the season, carry the team, you know, give some offensive, just something. And he's given very little. And this is going to, it was interesting because they were asking David Stearns whether or not he would get the, you know, some sort of contract done with Pete during the year. And, you know, emphatically, I felt like it was, no, it's just not going to happen. And they're going to wait and see what happens. And, you know, maybe Pete's back here next year, but hey, it's not going to be on a long-term contract. I can tell you that right now, unless somebody goes out there and gives him, you know, 5 or 6 years, which I just, at this point right now, I just can't imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be at a very, very depressed value if it is 5 or 6 years. And he sounds like a guy with Scott Boras and the season that he's having that's going to be waiting around being unsigned when spring training starts. You know, we've seen a lot of those guys, you know, like Blake Snell this past year, like a guy who has had some.
J.D. Martinez has gone through this.
Yeah, yes, he has. But J.D. Martinez older than Pete Alonso. But yeah, I mean, that's what it feels like to me, is they're going to be waiting around for a deal that they're not going to get. But there is still time, and if Lindor misses any games, I mean, there's going to be even more of a heavy spotlight on Pete to pick it up, and I just don't know if he's capable this year to do it.
It doesn't feel that way, and it's really unfortunate because, he's a fan. The fans love him, let's put it that way. He's a fan favorite, and just the timing is so off right now, and it's really just going to kill his opportunity to get a big contract.
Yeah, I mean, time's running out. I mean,
he should have signed the deal that they offered.
Yeah, but then again, he could also have a Daniel Murphy-like postseason from 2015.
If they make it to the postseason.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a possibility right now.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they have 81 wins right now is amazing.
Yeah, no, it really is. Jerry's got 2 more. Needs 2 more to go, and then we'll have a big celebration.
I mean, Jerry. I am rooting for Jerry to win.
Me
but
too,
I,
yeah.
But I want the Mets in the playoffs.
Well,
that's
naturally.
Really that's what we really want.
Yes, we want both the Mets and the Yankees in the postseason at the same time, playing playoff baseball. That's what we'd love to see, especially with the Giants being dead already.